Well, in the early days, I started out by writing about other fanzines that I could find, and I became the great, great is the wrong word. I don't want to pump myself up, but I became a clearinghouse for fanzine people. Like, everybody would send me their fanzines because they knew that at some point I would write about it. And then there would be great correspondence between fanzine people. We would write letters to each other and we would exchange, you know, ideas about what about these records. You know, record collecting was really tied in to music journalism then, because we were just discovering what were the good records. I mean, nobody knew. There were thousands and thousands of independently released albums and 45s, and you had to play them to find out if they were any good or to find out what kind of music they were. So it was a very exciting time. So that was a lot of the content of early fanzines. People would discover a record. They would discover, like, Illinois Speed Press, you know, some obscure album that came out 3 years earlier that nobody'd ever heard of, but turned out to be great. And then way, you know, this is decades pre-internet. How do you find out anything about these people? So you go to libraries, you try to find people that knew somebody, and you send them a postcard and say, hey, are you the guy that was in this band? It was incredible. There was a newsstand magazine in the early 70s called Fusion. And for a short period of time, it was either Fusion or New Times, but I believe it was Fusion. Greg Shaw from Bomp magazine had a column in that magazine, and he devoted an entire column to the existing rock and roll fanzines, and he gave every address and name and address of all those fanzines. And so that was one of the catalysts, because that was the first time on a nationally distributed basis you could go to the newsstand and buy something that told you about rock and roll fanzines. And like, here they are, and here's some of them, and here's some addresses. So it started out quite insular, but it built on itself. And it built on itself as record collecting grew. And then Goldmine had begun in 1974 in Fraser, Michigan. And, you know, by the mid-70s, it was doing well, and by the time they were able to hire me as their first full-time employee in 1978, it was exploding. There were record conventions all across the country. I was driving a Volkswagen bus to record conventions in Austin and New York City and places like that with just stacks of newsprint magazines.